The scripture reading this morning will be from Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction.
In the past few months, we have been going through different books of the Bible for the past couple of years. And we've finished a few books and started a few others. And this morning, we are starting a series that I have been wanting to do for a very, very, very long time. And it's going through the book of Proverbs. And Proverbs is a very interesting book in approaching expository way. What I mean by that is going verse by verse, because unlike many other books, Proverbs is more of a topical approach. And what I mean by that is this. In the book of Proverbs, you've got tons of topics that King Solomon and a few other proverb writers would pin down. But the way that the book is structured is interesting, because you've got chapters 1 through 9 that can all be approached verse by verse. It's actually designed in such a way that chapters 1 through 9 is an introduction to the book, kind of like its own set and organized a certain way. And then you get into chapter 10 all the way into chapter 30. And for the next 20-ish chapters, it's just almost like a gunshot approach of morals. The proverb writers are hitting different topics and different things that an individual needs to know in order to live a morally good life according to what God says is correct if you want to please Him. And then 31, it ends on marriage. It talks about the decisions that a king needs to have when he finds a spouse. The first 9 verses or so of chapter 31 is about King Lemuel himself. The whole chapter is really his mother giving him advice on how to find a good woman. And the first 9 verses, his mom tells him, you need to act this way in order to find a godly wife and in order to be a good ruler over your kingdom and your household. Verses 10 through 31 of the last chapter, she says to his son, this is the kind of woman you want to look for in order to be a successful man and a successful king, and in order to bring glory to you. When you look at the book of Proverbs, the word itself, proverb, good actions, the book is about good actions that God expects all of mankind to have. And if you look at Jesus' life, he fulfills every single proverb ever mentioned. As a godly man, Joseph would definitely make sure that his children would hear the Psalms and the prophets, that they would be equipped and have understanding of the Messiah, as well as teaching them the Proverbs so that they may know how to conduct themselves before the Lord. In the book of Proverbs, you have a theme of 3 main ideas. You've got knowledge, you've got wisdom, and you've got prudence. These 3, one needs to have in order to be successful in their godly life, in approaching God's law, if you will. And of course, there's many other things that we already mentioned. It's a topical approach to a book. You've got the wicked, you've got the righteous, you've got the foolish, and you've got the wise. You've got the virtuous woman, and you've got the sexually immoral woman, the loose woman, strange, as the Bible says. You've got things concerning how to treat your neighbor, how to treat even your animals, how anything in life that is practical, Proverbs talks about it. And it's fascinating how Jesus fulfills every single one of them. He had knowledge, he had wisdom, and he had prudence. Here's a, in understanding those three concepts, I kind of struggled because it seems like at least two out of the three, maybe even all three of them, sound very similar. What's the difference between the three? Well, here's a good illustration to show the difference between the three, because all three of them are, in fact, different. There is a story of three men. One of them, or all three of them, had interest in farming. And somebody came up to these three men who were sitting on a bench, and they said, "Hey, would you be able to help me grow some vegetables this year?" And the one man said, "Oh, yeah, I know all about growing vegetables." And so he just simply made the announcement that, "I know vegetables. Okay, what can you tell me?" "Oh, I just know them. I don't, that's all that I have is just knowledge about it." "Okay." Well, then the other person moved on to the second individual. "Can you help me grow some vegetables? Not only can I tell you that I know stuff about vegetables, but I know how to grow vegetables. I can tell you every single vegetable there is. I can tell you what seeds there are. I can tell you what kind of soil you need. I can tell you everything about vegetables." And they said, "Well, great. Can you please come help me do it?" "Well, I'm probably going to have to wait on that." He only had wisdom. Then he comes to the third individual. "Can you help me grow some vegetables?" "Well, this person said, not only do I know vegetables and what they are, not only do I know how to do it and tell you what kind of seeds there are and what kind of soil, I will go help you plant." That's prudence. Knowledge is simply knowing something. Wisdom is knowing how to do it, and prudence is actually putting it into action. One needs to have all three in order to be successful in planting the seed of God, which is the Bible. Now, chapter 1 is an introduction to the entire book. Wait a minute, you said chapters 1 through 9 is an introduction. Well, to confuse you even more, chapter 1 is an introduction to an introduction. Okay, so here is an outline of chapter 1. Verses 1 through 7, you have the origin of knowledge. The origin of knowledge. Where did knowledge come from? If we got to know something and know how to use it and actually put it into practice, we first have to know, where did this come from to begin with? You got the origin of knowledge, verses 1 through 7. Then you have the heeding of prudence. The heeding of prudence. "Take heed that you do these things," Solomon would say, verses 8 through 19. 8 through 19, the heeding of prudence. And then finally, he would conclude this chapter with the call of wisdom. The call of wisdom, verses 20 through 33. I'll give you a chapter heading for this, if you will, because, again, this is going to be a sermon series, so each title is going to be very similar. Chapter 1 is about the knowledge, the prudence, and wisdom of God. The knowledge, the prudence, and wisdom of God. Solomon lays the foundation of what these three things are in chapter 1. And then in chapters 2, really through the end of the book, is an explanation and visual of these things being put into practice. Now, look at verses 1 through 7 with me. It says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the naive, to the youth, knowledge, and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. To understand a proverb and the figure, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." Now, right off the bat, you see Solomon giving a list of things, introducing exactly what knowledge is. To receive knowledge, to receive wisdom, in order to actually fulfill prudence, where do we need to go? Well, let's look at verses 1 through 6. What it is we can receive. What is it that we can receive as human beings? Well, notice verses 1 to 3. We can know something. What can we receive? We can receive knowledge. Verses 1 through 3. Verses 4 through 5, what to give. After we've received this knowledge, what are we to do with it? Well, we can't hide it and lock it up and not share it. Once we have received this knowledge and how to use it and how to use its wisdom, Solomon says, now you have responsibility. You've got to go and give it to other people. Verses 4 through 5. And then verse 6, you need to have knowledge in order to understand these things from God. Proverbs, enigmas, words of the wise and their riddles. You need to have knowledge and wisdom in order to understand these things. And then verse 7, where we can receive it. He finally gives the source. Where can I receive this knowledge and wisdom in order to apply it properly? Well, I've got to go to God. Verse 7. Now let's look at this in greater detail. Verses 1 through 6, what is it that we can receive? What is it exactly, or a list of things, that Solomon says, you can know these things? Well, what is it that we can know? Verses 1 through 3. Well, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 different things that Solomon summarizes saying, you can know these things. First of all, you can know wisdom. Wisdom, knowing how to do something. Well, that's kind of a general definition of a general word, wisdom. And you can know something or know how to do something. Why is that important to the overall book and also to the overall theme of the Bible? What is it that Jesus says can save us? The truth. And what is unique about the truth? I can know it. I can know the truth, and the truth will set me free. Well, I can know wisdom, knowing how to do something properly. There are a lot of people in this world that make hundreds and thousands even of excuses. Well, the Bible is just too vast and too deep. Who can understand? Nobody can truly understand. It's up for interpretation. The book of Proverbs, which is about good actions from God to mankind, begins by saying you can know how to do something. And in order for you to know how to do something, you must first go to the source of that which is good, God. Verse 7. Now, what about discipline? Well, self-control, exercising instruction of the body and mind. I can know how to do something, specifically how to have self-control, Solomon says. I can also have knowledge and knowing how to have discernment. Discernment to pay attention, consider wisely, perceive with the senses. God says, I have created you in my image. I have designed you in such a way, mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, of how to be people of discernment. This really comes into the category of being a good student, being observant, being knowledgeable and vigilant, looking at things around you, looking and hearing before you speak. James would talk about this. Be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Have some discernment before you do something. You can know how to do it properly, Solomon says. And you can know how to have wise behavior. Well, this is prudence. Prudence, to ponder or to think before you act. Righteousness. How can I be righteous? There are none that are righteous except God. Well, I can know how to be righteous, even though I myself am not righteous. Imagine going to somebody who is not righteous and say, teach me righteousness. Teach me the core and definition of what it means to be righteous. And that wicked person says, just look at the things I do. That should be good enough. Well, you can't find righteousness in the hearts of wicked men. You can't find righteousness in humanity. So where can we find righteousness and how to apply it properly? Verse 7, I've got to go to God. Well, what about justice? Justice, fair in judgment, shows no favoritism. James would talk about this. It is a sin to show favoritism. How can I know how to not show favoritism? How to be equal and fair among all my fellow men and brethren? Well, I've got to go to God and see how he does it. You see how everything is pointing to verse 7? In order to know this, how to do it properly, go to the source, go to God. And then you have equity. You can know equity, integrity, that which is orderly or something that is truthful. You can know how to be somebody of good reputation. You can be somebody who is, in fact, blameless. Does that mean you are sinless or perfect? No. It means that you are blameless. You were once wicked and in sin, but now you are following God's law, the one that Jesus has instituted under the Christian dispensation, that is the law of liberty, which, by the way, James talks about. You see what I'm hinting at here. James would be a really good commentary on the book of Proverbs. In fact, some would even say that James is the Proverbs of the New Testament. You can find a lot of what Proverbs discusses in the book of James. Be somebody who takes advantage of knowledge. And what I mean by taking advantage of is don't let it slip through your fingers. Knowledge is open for everybody, but it only will be received by those who accept it. You can make excuses all day long. You can say, oh, woe is me. There's no chance for me. I can't understand. It's too deep. God says you can know it. And there's not going to be any excuse for you on the day of judgment. Now look at verses 4 through 5. After I have received knowledge on how to do these things properly, Solomon says, now you have something that's called the curse of knowledge. You cannot unknow something. And now that you have knowledge of all of these things that God wants you to know, by the way, you have a responsibility. You've got to go out and you've got to tell others about this knowledge. And he says, but you've got to be aware. There are four categories of people, and each need to be approached in a different way. Here's the first one, the simple. The simple, they need prudence. Simple people, verses 4 and 5, to give prudence to the naive. New American Standard says naive. I believe King James New King James may have simple. The idea here is one who almost is young, that doesn't really have a lot of knowledge. Give them knowledge, but not just give them knowledge, give them prudence, give them something to do. That sounds like really good advice, Solomon. Get our youth to be involved and do something. Don't just teach them and then put them on the sideline. Well, what if they don't know how to do anything? We can't get them out there doing something. They might embarrass us. They might embarrass themselves. How are they going to learn if they don't do it? Give them prudence. Make our youth active. Well, what about the next? Youth, once again, youth, knowledge and direction. Notice what it says. To the youth, specifically the youth, to the youth, give them knowledge and, discretion. So not only do you need to give those who are naive or simple, give them prudence, get them active. And that's not specifically talking about youth. That's a general category. Youth do fall under it. They need something to do along with those who perhaps are older but aren't doing anything. You know, there's an old saying, we as Christians need to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comforted. Now, what does that mean? Well, if you see somebody that is down and discouraged, comfort them. If you see somebody that's a little too comfortable in the pew, guess what you got to do? You got to be like Shamgar and get that ox goat and get them to work. But come on, get to work. Don't just be sitting around. Don't be naive. Don't be simple-minded. Get to work. Do something. Now, he says, now let's specifically talk about the youth. They need knowledge and discretion. Well, have you seen the youth today? And I'm not, let me rephrase that. The youth in our culture today. I'm not talking about those that are under this roof. I'm talking about those in the world. Well, a lot of that may come from perhaps a lack of discretion and knowledge from past generations. Well, hang on a minute. I was about to amen you saying that youth, they don't, they're over here being wild, but now you're saying it's my fault, the older generation. Both generations have a part to play. It's not an excuse for the youth to say, well, they didn't teach me, so I can just do whatever I want. And it's not an excuse for the older to say, well, you know, they're just youth. That's just how they are. If that's the attitude of both generations, you know what's going to happen to our country? The book of Judges. Look at the book of Judges. Joshua and the elders, which we're going to talk about this evening, by the way. The Joshua and the elders, that generation was faithful. Then there came another generation that was faithful, but then there arose a generation who knew what? They knew not God. They didn't have knowledge. They didn't have discretion. Well, what happened to that generation? They became wicked. If they do not have knowledge of who God is and where knowledge even comes from, don't be surprised if the next generation falls into the hands of the Philistines or the Moabites or the Ammonites. Now, what about this third category of people? Wise men. Wise men, what are we to do with them? To hear and increase in our learning. Some of y'all already know what I'm fixing to say. Excel still more. Well, wait a minute, preacher. Silly preacher. I've been reading my Bible longer than you've been alive, which hasn't been very long at all, by the way. I've been reading my Bible twice as long as you've been alive, three times as long as you've been alive. Wow. How about a fourth time? What about a fifth time, sixth time? Well, once I hit seven, that's a perfect number. I know everything. If you think that you know everything about God, you are in deep trouble. Because there are some things that only belong to God that are secret. You don't know everything about God. I don't know everything about God. But the things that have been revealed to us, they are for us and what? Our children, to teach them these things and to excel still more in our knowledge. Notice what it says in verse 5. A wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. If you truly are wise, you will say there is more that must be learned. Socrates once said, I know more than you because I admit that I know nothing. There are some people in his day and age that claimed, I know everything there is to know. And Socrates says, we don't know anything. And because I admit that I don't know anything, that means that there's way more to learn. And you have stunted your growth and your learning. Therefore, I know more than you. When a Christian says, I have all wisdom or I know everything, well, guess what? You fall into the category of people that truly don't know much. But if you claim to know nothing, then you have opened up a door to learn so much more. Be wise and understanding and acquire wise counsel and increase in your learning. And then there's another category. It says, let's see here, verse 6. To understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their riddles, isn't really another category of people per se, but it is saying with these categories of people and the knowledge of which you can know, these are things that you must understand when you increase in your learning. You see the flow of the text? Here are some things you can know. Once you receive the knowledge, you need to go out and approach these people. And once you approach these people and have increased in your knowledge, you can then understand these things. Now, just for your notes, because I am passing over these things pretty quickly, the fourth category itself is the one of understanding. You've got the simple, the youth, the wise, and the understanding. The wise men hear an increase in learning and understanding, that's the fourth category, to acquire guidance. Now, once they have acquired guidance, notice verse 6. He says, once you know something and you give it to other people, you can start understanding things. You can understand proverbs. You can understand enigmas. And you can understand words of the wise and their riddles. What does that mean? Well, if you're asking the question, we, including myself, because I asked that question, what does that mean? Well, I might need to go back to steps 1 and 2 in order to then understand step 3. What are the proverbs? What are the enigmas? What are the words of the wise and their riddles? Well, let's read verse 6. to understand a proverb and a figure, or well, the enigma is the figure here, the words of the wise and their riddles. A proverb, we kind of already defined it. It is a good action. Pro, good, for, verb, action. The book of Proverbs is a book of good actions. How can I understand it? Well, I have to first comprehend what it means to have knowledge and where it comes from. It comes from God. What about these enigmas or figures, if you will? It's elusive expression or poetic sayings in the Hebrew here. Psalms might fall into this category. The poetic sayings, elusive expression. Psalms is not very literal. It is elusive expressions. It's full of emotion. It's poetry. But then you have a third category, words of the wise and their riddles. Think of allegories or lessons taught indirectly, kind of like parables. Okay, so essentially, to understand Proverbs, Psalms, and parables, I have to know where knowledge comes from and how to use it properly. So essentially, how to understand the Bible, I have to know what it means to have knowledge and where the knowledge comes from. Look at verse 7. 7 answers the question. Where can we receive it then? Where can I receive this knowledge? Well, it comes from God. You know, if you're only reading verses 1 through 6 of somebody from the world, maybe somebody that holds grudges, somebody that's bitter or hard-hearted, everybody wants to have a knowledge of verses 1 through 6. Everybody. In fact, they'll go to mountaintops. They'll go to gurus. They'll go to the bottom of a bottle. They'll go to money. They'll go to women. They'll go to men. They'll go to all kinds of things to find verses 1 through 6. But the Bible says you can't find these things anywhere else except in verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Knowledge. Well, wait a minute. You've got one response or one reaction. The response is, well, I need to start fearing God and keeping His commandments in order to receive this knowledge. Or you're going to have a reaction. Oh, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to fear God. I can find this elsewhere. Well, you know what? Keep reading verse 7. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Solomon says, there are some that want and crave and will do anything for verses 1 through 6. But once they find out that it comes from verse 7, they show themselves to be fools at times. Because in order to truly have wisdom and instruction, true wisdom and instruction, you have to fear God. Well, what does it mean to fear God? Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verses 13 and 14. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Some English translations say this is the purpose of humanity. Our purpose in mankind is to obtain knowledge that God has given us, which is the Scriptures. And Solomon tells us step-by-step instructions, even if you are a simple-minded person, if you are a wise or understanding person, if you are somebody that is a youth, he says, this is how you do it. Go to God and fear Him, and you will receive everything you need, knowledge, wisdom, and prudence. Now look at verses 8 to 19. The heeding of prudence. The heeding of prudence. This is what we're going to do, because I want to be able to do justice to this chapter. I don't want to rush through it. We'll stop here. As much as I would love to keep eating spiritually, I know that there is a potluck of physical food waiting for us, so we're going to put a pin here. How can one receive knowledge, wisdom, and instruction? You know, perhaps you are somebody that only has knowledge. You are aware of the Bible. You are aware of Jesus the Christ, but you don't really know what to do with them or the Bible. Well, let me tell you, having knowledge without wisdom and prudence is useless. But you know what? Having knowledge and wisdom without prudence is also useless, because I can know what it is, I can know what to do, but then not do anything with it. What good is that going to do me? Well, I'll tell you what good it does. It does no good. All it does is it is something that God is going to look at you and say, why did you squander this? Solomon was the wisest man that walked this planet because, besides Jesus Christ, of course, because God gave him that wisdom. But you know what it doesn't say about Solomon? He was the most prudent man to walk the face of this planet. You can have knowledge and you can have wisdom, but you can still turn out wicked at times like Solomon was throughout his life. He married tons of women. He had tons of parties. If what's something that's interesting, and it would be good to do in the book of Proverbs, as you're going through the book of Proverbs, do a psychology study on people in the Bible. Something that I've done, and this is with the help of other people who have actually gone through schools and gotten degrees in psychology, they would say that, you know, if you look at people like Saul, Saul was somebody that was had paranoia, and he was also someone that was bipolar because of just his actions. David was somebody that had depression. He's somebody that faced depression all the time. Solomon was an addict. He was somebody that if he wanted something, he didn't have any self-control, he'd just go do it. And he would fulfill those desires, and he fulfilled all the desires. And you know what happened to Solomon? I hope and pray that Ecclesiastes chapter 12 was the last thing we hear about him. Because an addict who fulfilled all desire said, I had all knowledge and all wisdom that God gave me, and I squandered it because I didn't have prudence. So the end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Solomon says, don't do what I did. Don't squander knowledge. Don't abuse wisdom. Go to God and fear him and receive the knowledge. And do not be a fool who despises wisdom and instruction. Maybe you are one of those two categories, one who only has knowledge or one who only has wisdom, but you don't have prudence. Maybe you fall into a third category, somebody of the foolish category, the foolish man, one who looks at God and says, I don't need this. In fact, not only does a fool despise wisdom and instruction, a fool says in his heart, there is no God. Whereas the psalmist would say, thy word hath I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. What is he hiding in his heart, preserving, keeping in, so that he may not sin? He's preserving knowledge and wisdom of God. But in order that he may not sin, he's got to have prudence. Maybe you fall into one of these three categories. Maybe you are a Christian that has fallen away. You've lost your prudence. Maybe you are a foolish man or a foolish woman, and you have not received the gospel, but you want to become wise in your understanding and be prudent by putting on Christ in baptism and being obedient to his commandments, loving him, John 14:15. Whatever the case may be, I beg and plead that you come now as together we stand and as we sing.